community in Maui begins to rebuild.
It's probably the hardest thing. Not the material things, but the memories of my kids and their homes, which this will never get to replace.
Seeking and giving solace amid the Maui wildfires. Reporter Mary Richards traveled to Maui weeks after the devastation. She experienced the strength of the Hawaiian people firsthand. Here's Church News reporter Mary Richards on KSL News Radio.
This is Sarah Jane Weaver, executive editor of the Church News. In August 2023, a series of wildfires broke out and spread devastation on the Hawaiian island of Maui. Sadly, property and many, many lives were lost, including five members of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Still, family, friends, and church members rallied to support each other and begin the long process of recovering from the disaster. Church News reporter Mary Richards traveled across the ocean to the island shortly after the fires. While there, she experienced the strength of the Hawaiian people as they both sought and gave solace in a wounded community. In this special edition of the Church News podcast, Mary shares their stories of survival and spiritual fortitude. She also talks about the church's humanitarian response and the faith that can be found in the beauty of the ashes.
When I got to the town of Lahaina, everything was gray instead of green. Ash and debris covered block after block of the historic town. I learned that the official death toll had risen to 115 people at that time in late August, but the numbers of the missing remained very high. On a beach not far from the closed streets, members of the Lahaina First Ward of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints gathered to mourn and draw strength from each other. 80 members of their ward lost their homes in the fires. While on the beach, Unaloto Taukeiahu, who was recently released as the Kahului Westake president, shared what had happened the day of the fires and all that he lost.
What happened to my family, we always been taught to be prepared. So we did have a food storage. Everything was set at the home. With the wind came so strong, I decided to let my family know that we're going to go to a hotel, knowing that it will be a fire. So I would say it's probably very inspiring to do that. So there was a family in the ward, which is the Kafoa. They were also at our home at the time. So I said to the wife, just going to go to the foodland, grab a few things because we're about to go to the hotel. So I left. When I left, my family was at home. So that was separated us. As I went to Foodland, which is a quarter miles from our home, not knowing that all of this will take us even farther apart. So from there, my wife called and said, there's a fire. And then I said to my wife, as I look up the hill, that it's full of smoke, leave now. The way how I find my home, the next day after, I was just anxious. As my kids told me, Dad, the house is gone. In the back of my mind, I said, no. I even keep telling them, our house is not gone. So I was so anxious to see if it's still there. And that day, we did drove back to Lahaina. To be honest with you, it's probably the hardest thing. Not the material things, but the memories of my kids and their homes, which this will never get to replace. And with my testimony, I know that everything will be okay. With my faith in knowing my Savior, that everything will be fine. So the moment from there, it's how do I strengthen my family? How could I strengthen my neighbor?
I am grateful for Una sharing his story and his faith. He mentioned the area president being with them that day. That area president is Elder Mark A. Bragg, a General Authority 70 of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints and president of the church's North America West area. While in several meetings around the island, Elder Bragg focused on hope.
What we're doing here today is what we learned from Christ, right? It's going and ministering and going one by one, trying to speak to everyone, seeing how they're doing, asking about their families. and let these beautiful people know that we love them, that they're not forgotten. So why is it important to move forward and focus on hope? It's just because that's who we are. This could not make sense if you only look at it in this aspect, in this day. And even something with this much devastation will help us in some way, will help us help others. We become an instrument in the Lord's hands. We were able to develop an empathy that, quite frankly, we wouldn't develop unless we went through things like this.
The Church News Weekly Podcast invites listeners to make a journey of connection with members of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Download episodes today at thechurchnews.com. KSL News Radio remains a safe place for news and important conversations, and we honor the trust you place in us, Utah. We have you covered. Mornings 5 to 9 in your car at 102.7 FM.
After the deadly and devastating fires on the island of Maui, the stories of hope and relief that came from survivors, first responders, and the community were truly uplifting. Local businesses rallied to raise funds. Supplies poured in from other islands and the mainland. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints donated $1 million to the American Red Cross and worked with several local agencies to provide relief. When the fires raged, members of the Kahului West Stake quickly rushed to set up a shelter at the Stake Center for evacuees. Then, seeing the needs increase, the Kahului Stake joined in the relief effort as well. While on the grounds of the West Stake Center, Kahului West Stake Relief Society President Uki Nitahara and Kahului Stake Relief Society President Lori Aiwohi talked to me about what that response looked like.
Well, I think everybody saw that this is the great opportunity to serve and to work together. And the friendship and the brotherhood and sisterhood that we felt this past 2 weeks. It's just what held us together. But so many members came together and took the shift. We had the 12-hour shifts.
And I think that was kind of the way that a lot of the members coped with it, you know, how they gave back, how they dealt with the trauma that we were all experiencing. So they just, you know, LDS, you just kick it in gear and come in and start helping, right? So they came and everybody was helping and even providing meals and whatever. And their stake center never had showers. And we started the showers on our side that day, Wednesday. So we were open, not as a shelter, but for showers and things like that. And started shuttling people there. And then I believe it wasn't very long after, they were super full. I want to say, I think it was Thursday even.
We had about 250, more than 250.
So we were already kind of on standby for like an overflow. But I think by Thursday, we had to open as a shelter. And so it was really easy for us to just work together and be like...
It was really helpful that she came to reach out to me, because some of the stake leaders, they're affected by this fire. They're the Lahaina residents. So I didn't have a lot of women support.
She didn't have her presidency.
Just from the stake. No, of course, all the members helped all of us. But, you know, just the stake
leaders,
you know, I didn't have many. Mm-hmm. So I felt like I was kind of running around like a rat.
I know. So it was good because I was here with her.
And, yeah.
And it was such a huge missionary opportunity. You know, the missionaries were in full force helping, of course, too. And so many community partnerships got involved and offered services that made what we were doing so much easier. You know, at first we were sending home laundry with members and towels. And then, you know, people stepped it up in the community. Businesses stepped it up and were willing to help with that. And the food, because at first we were asking wards, okay, can you guys do this meal? Can you do? And then really quickly, we got these other people to help with all of that. So it was just amazing how much love and outpouring came from the community and the members and, you know, everywhere. Yeah.
Yeah. In fact, you know, the people who came as volunteers in the shelters, there are some non-members as well. Mm-hmm. They just hopped in serving the food to others. And even the people displaced in our shelters, they're willing to help too. Say, hey, I'm not injured, you know, I'm not harmed. So they're willing to help. And there are some tourists that came from Kihei and it's like, hey, I'm here to help. It's such a great community effort. Yeah. It's not just the church members. And then there's some non-members came to talk to me. I never seen Mormon church before. That's what they said.
Yeah.
And in fact, my friend who is non-member came to help us out. And then she said, guess what? I got four people came to me and then I should come to this church. And so it was such a great way to share the light of Christ and positive energy out of the tragedy. But it was such a great way to feel that we are hopeful and faithful to recover.
I asked Lori and Yuki how they felt as they worked those long hours to minister to others.
I think following the Jesus Christ is always the foundation of the covenants that we make, you know, and during the sacrament too. And actually, President Hanks actually shared today that, you know, within the darkness and within the tragedies, we need to choose to turn on the switch, turn the light on. The light is always there, but we need to choose to do that, to choose to turn it on. It's sad to see people go through pains and, you know, sorrows. But at the same time, we can lift up their hearts and with each other too. So
exactly. And just a very strong prompting came to me. And I haven't shared this with a lot of people, but it was just like, I placed you in this position at this time for this purpose.
After the shelters in the stake center were taken down, the relief effort began to shift from meeting immediate temporal needs to determining what should be done long-term for rebuilding, healing, and growth.
One of my counselors greatly affected by this fire, and then I've been in touch with her once in a while, and then she shared with me that she still had nightmares at night, and then that is the proof and the witness that many of them will have challenges mentally, not just the material things, but physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. I think as stake leaders, or even just the church members and brothers and sisters in the same church, we need to be mindful and search and then seek out to help in a certain ways. It's not just sharing the gospel. I think it's about supporting their mental challenges.
For sure, yeah. And I think temporally, I mean, like a lot of them right now, of course, they're not ready for all of that. So as you say, you know, for the long haul, one of the things that we've been doing is a lot of the goods that have been coming in, donations and the beds donated and things that are brand new, we're going to be holding them and storing them. And we have a place, and I've been sharing with a lot of our Lahaina members, you know, when you guys are ready, we're storing these for you, because I know now is not the time. And we're keeping that giving room open for a little while, just because really recently there's not new people coming into shelter, but we're starting to see a lot more of not just members, but community people who now are like, now they're ready to come out. Because I think initially we're all just shocked. So they're starting to come out and get more goods and, you know, things and materials. And so we'll keep that as long as we need to help out with those relief efforts. And we definitely feel the thoughts and the prayers of people worldwide, especially in the church. And it's really amazing. We've been sustained. We're evidence by being sustained through their prayers. So it's just amazing. It's awesome.
You know, the one thing that we can do to rebuild the Lahaina saints in the Lahaina community, save your money. Come visit us, visit the local businesses, go to the restaurants, support their businesses. That will be one of the ways to help.
Yeah.
Next, we hear the harrowing story of a mother and daughter who literally took shelter in the sea to survive the flames and hear how they were saved by the help of a stranger.
A community in Maui begins to rebuild.
It's probably the hardest thing, not the material things, but the memories of my kids and their homes, which this will never get to replace.
Seeking and giving solace amid the Maui wildfires. Reporter Mary Richards traveled to Maui weeks after the devastation. She experienced the strength of the Hawaiian people firsthand. Here's Church News reporter Mary Richards on KSL News Radio.
As flames roared through Lahaina, Hawaii on August 8th, Noni Merkovich and her daughter Lonnie Williams needed to escape quickly. They were forced over the seawall and into the ocean to survive. The two women and several others had to stay in the water for hours as the fire raged. Here they share their experience and the help they received from a stranger.
we kind of started packing, and as our neighbors were kind of talking to each other, like, what are you going to do? Where are you going to go? Another neighbor looked across the street and said, the fire's across the street. It's like the building right behind us was already in flames. And by the time we just came out of the front door, embers were falling on us already, smoke. So my neighbors helped us get in the car. There was like no siren warning. So anyway, we get in our car and traffic is like, it's hard to get over out of our driveway. Traffic is just inching. We finally get on the street and the fire, it's right there. And I was like, we might die in this car, you know, like, but I can't go out on foot or anything because she has her walker. So I'm like, we just have to see how far our car can take us. So we go down a little bit. The sky is black. Embers are falling. It's like, I kept thinking of like, you know how they say raining fire? It was like that. I had to use my reading glasses and a highlight to even see. And this is like at, I don't know, 3 or 4 in the afternoon. And where we're stopped, there's like a big tree on fire too. And like, Mom, we have to pray. We have to pray, like pray that this tree doesn't fall on us. And then my mom's like, that building is on fire on the side of us. I just got a little freaked out about all the fires that I turned around and we got trapped in the traffic. It was, you can hear explosions all around you. There's fires behind you, fires in front of you. And we're just like, okay, what are we gonna do? People are looking at each other like, are you gonna go over the wall? You know, we already saw people going over. So I said, let's do it. It's steep. You know, like my mom can't even touch the rocks below us. So I saw another friend and she was being helped by this guy in a motorcycle helmet. You can't even see his face. And she's like, Benny will help you. And I guess that was the guy in the motorcycle. So he did. He helped my mom. And then once she got over the wall, that wasn't over. We knew we had to get down the rocks to the ocean. Because if you didn't, there was an uncle who didn't have anyone there. They helped him get over the wall, but they weren't strong enough to help him down to the water. And he passed. So Benny, he was like, I can get you down to the water. And so he kind of like guided my mom. And then at one point it was like, she couldn't, the rocks are slippery, they're wet. And they're unstable. And so he's like, Auntie, just, he's like, come on my back, I got you. And she was afraid, yeah, but she trusted him. And he like basically carried her down to the water's edge where we stayed pretty much the whole time. And it was like, every time the fire, you know, got really hot, the waves would come and keep us cool. And it was really hard to breathe. The smoke was just so thick, embers. I had a sarong with me, which I was able to keep it wet. And I put it over her head and I just told her to keep it, because my eyes were burning. And even like, I felt like my lungs were burning. And my mom, she's on all kinds of medication. So it was just like, I didn't want her to breathe what I was breathing. So we kept the wet pareo over her head. And they told her, keep your head down, keep your head in your shirt. I don't know, I felt like the ocean gave us oxygen. Yeah, every time the fire would get really hot, it would keep us cool and we could breathe a little bit. But just to survive, we just held on to each other. Like as the waves were crashing, the water was kind of sucking us out. But we stayed on the rocks and I just made sure to brace myself and just hold on to her, because that was the most amazing part, is this guy, he was young, he was strong, he could have left, but he didn't. And the other lady, she was like 80 something years old, you know? We are complete strangers to him, and he chose to stay with us the whole entire time. Because if he wasn't there, I wouldn't have been able to get her down to the rocks. And she wouldn't have been able to breathe. And then finally, when you were getting rescued, and us getting over the wall was like at 5 in the afternoon, around there. We got rescued at like 1:30 in the morning, and we didn't know how much time was going by. And so that was like, even though it was like the worst time, I feel blessed, you know, blessed. And I have a granddaughter and a son, and because we didn't have any communication all day, I was worried that they were going through the same thing or worse, you know. I didn't know. And when we knew we were getting rescued, I was able to somehow, my phone was soaking wet, but I was able to get a call. My phone still didn't really have reception, but I was able to make a call to my son, find out that they were safe and that we were getting rescued. And I told him, I don't know where we're going or what's happening, but we're safe. And then my phone went out again.
It felt like we were in the bowels of hell. The fire, the blackness, the darkness. You can hear people screaming. We could see only fires and hear like bombs because the cars was all blowing up. And at one point she said, Mom, we might die. And I said, one, we have each other and we're together. Two, we know Jesus and Heavenly Father. We're going to be with our family. And that's a lot better than a lot of people have right now. And actually, I was praying for those who don't know Jesus, the homeless, the visitors running amok. We knew where we were going or wanted to go. They didn't. Yeah, I was praying for everyone, and especially our Mopuna, my great-granddaughter and my grandson. Our faith and prayers made us strong, but I'm not going to minimize the fear. The human part of us wanting to survive, you know, also was praying, Heavenly Father, your will be done. Whether you want us to go home to you or you want us to do further work for you. Because honestly, in that moment, all eyes was to him. So in a way, that gave me peace. Because in good times, people are not looking up to him. But in that chaos, in that panic, we saw the good, the bad, the ugly, the true characters of people. But it also brought out ours. My daughter, so strong. You know, and she encouraged me, we can do it, Mom. Again, the faith and prayers, the miracles. So I know God was with us at all times. Heavenly Father was with us. And he sent his angels to minister to us and help us.
The Church News Weekly Podcast invites listeners to make a journey of connection with members of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Download episodes today at thechurchnews.com. KSL News Radio remains a safe place for news and important conversations, and we honor the trust you place in us, Utah. We have you covered, mornings 5 to 9, in your car at 102.7 FM.
Volunteers worked tirelessly after the Maui wildfires and continue to help in the recovery efforts. Tehani Kama, the Kahului Hawaii Stake Young Women president, spent hours every day at the Stake Center, which became a shelter for evacuees and a resource center for anyone in need. Standing in front of the partitions in the gym, she spoke about the service and support the Latter-day Saints have been giving to their community.
And we were ready to support in any way that we could. And so one of our members, he has all of these support systems in his business. And they called for the men to come Sunday after church, and so many of them came to help. Within a few minutes, all of this went up. Yeah, it was amazing. So we know that when we put the call out, the help is there, and it's just just because they know that they're suffering. You know, there's a lot going on. So yeah, I think the church providing a safe place for people to come and receive those services, if not information on where to go to grab those services. And the whole community is willing to feed people and to give supplies and clothing, for help with supplies in our giving room, which has just been coming and going constantly. We have people with Amazon accounts, people calling our stake president and just donating money. And so our stake primary president has been handing out supplies and gift cards, and our stake Relief Society president with organizing and helping everyone to know what track they're on, helping them to sign up because everyone wants to come and volunteer. Everyone comes to show up so much that we have to turn people away or say, can you find another area that you can volunteer with? Yeah, so it's been a blessing. And we're just really grateful that the whole community, not just on Maui, our state and our country has really come together to help us. And right now, they may not need all the help that we want to provide right now, but in a few weeks, when things start to settle down and they start to rebuild, is I think when they're really going to need that help. And all of this may be gone, but we still need to be able to provide help as they start to rebuild their lives.
The shelter at the Stake Center closed at the end of August as more housing accommodations were found for those who lost their homes. But so many needs remain for the island and will remain for a long time as the cleanup, restoration, rebuilding, and healing processes continue. Elder Mark A. Bragg shared his witness of hope in the Savior Jesus Christ through all of this.
I would hope that everyone, church members and those who aren't members of our faith, that they feel hope, that there's a purpose in this. It certainly wasn't a surprise that this would happen to our Heavenly Father. He knew this was going to happen. This didn't catch him by surprise. There's a plan. And because we have a Savior, there's always hope. And you talk about the scriptural references to beauty from the ashes. This is what it means. It means we can rebuild, we can strengthen our testimonies, we can bless the lives of other people. And I think that's what this is meant to be. So I would hope that the message is that we have a Savior, Jesus Christ, and in Him there is eternal hope.
As we come to the close of this special edition of the Church News Podcast, we ask the same question we always like to ask, which is, what do you know now? With the knowledge that life will move forward and that forward momentum will be made easier as we rely on our Heavenly Father and His gospel, Uki Nitahara and Lori Aiwohi, the two Stake Relief Society presidents on the island of Maui, share what they know now after responding to the wildfires.
We took some pictures, you know, what kind of system we can build if something happened again. I don't want anything like this happen again, but, you know, at least we are prepared. What kind of items do we need? What kind of management in the church building we need to set up? That's probably the biggest thing, to have a smooth flow. And also, I know that people are willing to help, always, no matter what. They're always here and you're not alone. Just holler out and shout out, hey, I need help for this and that. There are always people willing to help.
I would say for sure that we can do hard things, that we can be His hand, we can come together, we can network and be put into action quickly, you know, mobilize quickly and just continue to learn and grow. We may not have the right answers in the beginning, but we can adjust and we can continue to learn and grow and help each other. I've learned that when you're in the face of life and death, life is so much more important than any materialistic thing you could ever imagine to have. And even when they've lost everything, they were so happy that they had each other. They had their temple covenants. They have their brothers and sisters in the gospel. I think that is truly amazing. So.
You have been listening to a special Church News KSL News Radio conference documentary. To hear the complete Church News podcast of this interview, visit thechurchnews.com/podcast.